MSW Media.
Well, pour yourself a glass, sit for a spill. It's time to have some fun. Let's do a little thinking, some picking and a drinking. Well, this is what we're drinking with Dan Dunn. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Hi. Hope you're having a good day. I took the dog on a walk this morning, and I was listening to Smartless Podcast. You know that one? It's a little bit bigger than this show, just a little. One of my heroes was on, Michael Stipe, and I got caught up listening to that today. Funny story. Years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, I was in New York City and went to a complex, Chelsea Yards, I think it's called. And there was a bar there and we were having some drinks in the lobby. I was with a group. I was with about four other people. And there's also a theater in this complex. So we were wrapping up and getting ready to leave and head to another bar. We called an Uber. So the Uber was out front already. And three of my friends went out to get in the car. And my cousin Chrissy and I were settling up the bill at this bar. And as we're about to walk out, I know this play had let out. This theater had, the show had let out while we were settling up, and a bunch of people came down. And this group of about five guys go to this table, which was right near the exit. And as we're walking, I say to Chrissy, I go, oh my God, it's Michael Stipe. Like, I mean, one of my heroes. REM was one of the seminal bands of my life. And I couldn't let the moment pass. I'm not the kind of guy that would normally go up to celebrities, but in this case, I thought, well, what the fuck? I'll give it a shot. And I walked up, and it was Michael, and I think four other guys were with him. And I was stammering. You know, I said, hi, excuse me, Michael, sorry to bother you. I just want to say, and it was suddenly, it was like I was, the stage fright came over me. I was a mess. I said, I just want to say thank you for a lifetime of special things. That's what I said. And by the way, I don't remember saying that. My cousin was standing nearby and heard me say it. Thank you for a lifetime of special things. And they were all looking at me like I was special at that moment. And no one said anything. And then finally, Michael Stipe, and that little, that unique twang voice he has, that twangy voice, says, what's your name? And I said, Dan. He says, Dan, thank you. He repeats what I said. Thank you for a lifetime of special things. And he kind of nodded and he said, that's nice. And shook my hand. And then nothing. Nobody said anything. Just standing there. And I sort of backed up slowly. Okay. Bye. And that's how I met Michael Stipe. And I was so embarrassed. And we got, and I said, I was like, damn it. Damn it! I was like Chris Farley in that sketch we used to do with Paul McCartney. Oh, shit. And my cousin said, no, that was really, no one. I go, I can't believe I just said thank you for a lifetime. It's so stupid. And she said, no, it was sweet. And no one's ever said that to him. So there you go. My Michael Stipe famous celebrity story. Speaking of famous, I hung out with a good buddy of mine yesterday. This was on Sunday. Simon Ford of Forged Gin. You're a drinker. You're listening to this show. You should know Forged Gin. It's one of the greatest gins in the world. Simon's one of my oldest pals from the business, and Simon and our other pal, Ben Scora, also from the business, we got to hang out yesterday in Beverly Hills. That's where I want to be. And, yeah, we went to Gucci Osteria di Massimo Bottura. Massimo Bottura is one of the most famous chefs in the world, Italian chef, and they have these, he's done this collaboration with Gucci since February 2020. The one opened here in Beverly Hills. And it's just about one of the fanciest restaurants you could possibly go to. It's very hard to get a reservation. It's not the sort of thing that I normally do, but it was cool to go hang out in Beverly Hills. And we went there, and oh boy, it was for lunch. We had lunch. It's not inexpensive, as you might imagine, but really delicious. You know, very fancy. We had, we had grilled artichokes. We had this tortellini. Tortellini is kind of famous for. So to give you an idea, the tortellini is a little small bowl, $52. The grilled artichokes, $34. There was a dish called You and Me in Capri, which we really enjoyed. That was like a lemon ricotta ravioli. Oh, this cod was great too. Cod as Milanese. That was about $60. And then delicious wine. The whole thing was, it was fantastic. But again, uber expensive. But I guess I'm telling you about it because if you're looking to have sort of a once-in-a-lifetime experience and you don't mind dropping a little bit of cash, I would recommend it. It just, you feel kind of special when you're there. You know, I was like, oh, it's an event. And I realize I don't really get outside of my bubble too often in Venice, and I usually hang out at shitty dive bars that I love. But every once in a while, I think it's cool to do that. And then from there, we went over to Dante. The original Dante was in New York City, and they opened one out here a couple years ago in a hotel in Beverly Hills, and that also, very fancy, very fancy. If you go to my Instagram, at the Imbiber, I posted a picture there. They sent out some cocktails special for Simon, what they drew on the foam, and it was neat. But Dante, also an excellent choice. If you're going to pamper yourself one day, do the Gucci Osteria, and then go to Dante. And you'll feel like $1 million. You probably need $1 million, too, to get there. Yeah, not cheap. Bring the credit card. Speaking of getting out of my bubble, tonight I'm going to be heading over to West Hollywood to Melrose Umbrella Company, one of my favorite bars. Going to be hanging out with William H. Macy. Bill Macy, former guest on this show. I'm going to probably knock out an interview with Bill tonight, so maybe that'll be coming up in the next week or two on the show. Bill's going to be there with Woody Creek Distilling. He's a partner there, and they're releasing a new expression, the Bill Macy expression. I don't think that's what it's called, but I guess Bill had a real hand in developing this expression, and tonight's going to be the release party for that. So look for an interview with Bill Macy on an upcoming episode of this show. Did I mention, speaking of whiskey, did I mention our guest coming up later is Joe Beatrice? On this episode, Joe Beatrice, our dear friend from Barrel Craft Spirits, one of the most knowledgeable guys in the biz, and we always love having Joe on, and he's going to be talking about some of their new expressions just in time for the holidays. So you want to hear that, and Bill's going to talk about the science of blending, which is a lot of what they do over there, and that's just coming up in like 2 minutes or something. In fact, we'll jump into it. I will say one other thing. Today, the day that this episode is dropping, is November 14th. It is my brother Brian's birthday. My late brother Brian, who passed away in 2010. Today is his birthday, and he would have been 44 years old today. I always say this podcast is available wherever podcasts stream. I'd like to think that somewhere, wherever you go, when you're not here anymore, he has some sort of awareness of what I'm doing. Maybe he's listening. If you're listening, Brian, I love you, man, and happy birthday. And we'll be back right after this little commercial with Joe Beatrice. The holidays are coming. That's right. Thanksgiving, right around the corner. Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. All right around the corner. What does that mean, by the way, right around the corner? You turn, you see it. What if you walk by? What if you keep going straight? Do you miss it? Do you miss the holidays? I don't know. I'm rambling. Anyway, holidays are here. If you're throwing a party and you're gonna make some cocktails, if you use subpar mixers, you're going to get subpar drinks. And that's why I'm all about the Fresh Victor. Fresh Victor is a line of all natural, clean label cocktail mixers that brings the magic of master mixologist into your home. They feature a bunch of unique blends with contemporary flavors designed to suit any palate. All of the ingredients in Fresh Victor mixers are fair trade sourced. There's no artificial anything, and they're produced at a 100% solar powered juicing plant where there's no waste. Right now, Fresh Victor is offering a holiday special exclusively for you, listeners of the WWD podcast. Simply go to freshvictor.com and put a bunch of mixers in your shopping cart. And when you check out, enter promo code FVDAN20 to get 20% off your order. Again, that's FVDAN20. 20% off. It's the ultimate holiday gift to yourself and to your party guests. So what are you waiting for? Now's the time to treat yourself to the very best mixers on the market. And that's Fresh Victor.
Hey, Dan, it's Patty Murin, Broadway's Princess Anna. Do you want a drink of bourbon?
Yes, I do. Do I have a shot on Broadway?
Sure.
Joining me now, one of our regulars, old friend of the show. I don't mean old, he's young and spry, but he's a great friend of the show. Always love having him on. The proprietor of Barrel Craft Spirits, Joe Beatrice. Joe, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Always good to see you, my friend. We're just starting to get into the festive time of year. And when I think festive and I think celebration, I think barrel. That's what I like to do. No, but it is. I was looking over some of the new stuff you got coming out, and I thought, well, we need to touch base with Joe and see what he's got going on for the season. So I think we should jump right in here. First off, I want to say congratulations, because I think since we last talked, you've come up with you've opened your new state-of-the-art blending facility, right?
Yes. It was 2 years in the making. It took 2 years, but we did it we opened in September, and 2 days before the opening, we were still welding, and we got our certificate of occupancy the day before. It was a race to the crossing. It was 2 years in the making here, but we're open. We're here.
So where is it?
In Jeffersontown, which is, it's actually part of Louisville. So it's maybe 5 or 6 miles from downtown.
Okay. And is this a place where consumers can come?
Eventually. We actually do have a store here. And so people can come. We're not really doing tours yet. And I think what we're really thinking is to try to do something that's a little bit different, a little bit unique, like try to create some blending experience, something that's reflective of what we do. So it's something a little bit more interesting. And so we're working our way through that.
So you mean like, so everybody knows, and you know, Barrel, what Joe, their releases, the product they put out is they're generally blends of whiskeys that Joe and his team procures from all over the place. So you're saying you want to create that sort of experience for the consumer where they can come in and lead them through how to maybe perhaps blend their own whiskey.
Yeah. We're thinking about, we have a couple of different scenarios we're thinking about, you know, some level of interactivity, you know, to just show what it is that we do and let people experience that a little bit. And, you know, we could, you know, that's on one level. We'll probably just have some regular tastings as well.
But you could do that as a value add though, right? Especially for your regular customers, maybe the ones that are buying a lot of whiskey, you can add that sort of, make that a thing where, do you see that happening? Like a thing where someone could have their own signature line of, whereas people buy barrels, you know, they go and they buy their own barrel. Could you see the time coming where I could come in and create my own Dan Dunn barrel blend?
I think it'll be a variation. We'll try to save you from yourself a little bit.
I was going to say the Dan Dunn Barrel blend. I mean, I know more than most, but I'm still thinking it probably wouldn't be that good.
We sort of do that. Like we do have a private release series, and we will work with customers who, you know, are buying at the barrel level to come up with something that works for them. Generally, it's a larger format. It's been one barrel, but we also have enough. We have enough private releases that we've developed that you could pick the profile based on what we have, and you know, and then it would be yours.
Well, that's an interesting point you bring up there, Joe. If I were to do that, if you're consulting me on how I want to make my own whiskey, where do you start when you're talking about the profile? What would the first question be to me if I were coming to you and I hired you to consult to help me make my way? What would be the first question you'd ask me?
Well, it would really be a series of things. What are we trying to do here? What kind of a product you're trying to make? Is it a mass release product? A specialty? Is it a vanity product where you just want to do something that is right for you? And then if you start dialing into it, it would be more to work through flavor profiles. Like what is it that you're interested in? What do you like? You know, do you like it more astringent? Do you like it sweeter? And then dial in from there. And then, so when we do, it's sort of the same process that we do when we're blending a batch, for example. You know, we put in the context, the one that we're blending based on what the last previous releases were. And then, so we'll work through so that there's something unique or different from the previous one. So that's how we would approach it, and then just start blending. Because remember, we have a lot of barrels, and we have a good feel for what they're going to taste like as we combine them, which is how we actually work. So we work back from, we whiteboard out a concept of what we want the flavor profile to be like, and then we select the barrels that would do that. And so it would be the similar kind of concept.
So I like, if I say, I prefer a bourbon, or I prefer whiskey that's, you know, a little bit more on the sweet side. So are you going to go with a corn heavy thing first, or we're going to probably stay away from the rye?
No, I mean, you'd be surprised the way that it isn't just the mash bill. It has to do with the maturation also. And fermentation does have a lot to do with it, but that's sort of farther upstream. But, you know, more of a corn forward one, it is going to be naturally a little bit sweeter, you would want to put a little bit of age in there to kind of round it out a bit. We start playing, and we would actually probably prepare a handful of component products. So if you think about it, if you're just blending one barrel at a time, that's very different from saying we need to get to 500 gallons, 1,000 gallons, 6,000 gallons. They're very different approaches. And if we're doing, you know, larger format, we'd want to actually blend some barrels before we started blending. Because you can't just take, dumping barrels is different from blending. And that's something that has come to light as people talk about blending now. It is blending is an art. Dumping barrels is
so just, define dumping barrels for everybody out there.
I just bought 10 barrels, and I want to make a whiskey. Here they are. Put them in a container and let's bottle it.
Okay, got it.
So that's the luck of the draw. If those 10 barrels worked well together and all the stars aligned, then it's a home run. That doesn't happen very often, because what happens is we combine different barrels from different lots, different ages, different states to round things out. So you create these sort of components that we then blend together into a final blend. I know it's confusing, but basically we combine a lot of different things. We put together a lot of different things and then combine those lots of different things together in different ways to achieve the goals we're trying to achieve.
How much is science versus instinct? How much is just your own feeling of like, I know this is going to work?
Well, a lot of it is we know the profiles of a lot of the barrels. We may or may not have talked about this. Vantage to me is a great example of this. Vantage is one of our core products, and it's an American bourbon. And it's an exercise in maturation. So these barrels are not finished. They're further matured. We call them finished, but they're really further matured in French oak, toasted American barrels, and Mezanero barrels.
Oh, and let me stop you there.
Yeah.
What's the difference between finished and further matured?
So the way we think of finishing is it's a barrel that has something that's additive to it, like a PX barrel or, you know, an Armagnac barrel. That's a finishing barrel. If it's a Mezanero barrel, it's just the oak. There's no secondary finish in there. And putting the whiskey in and letting it mature is you're actually maturing the whiskey in the finishing cask, but we just use that as a shorthand way of distinguishing between a barrel that has some sort of an additive to wine or whatever it is to versus the wood. So this is just three different types of wood. It's toasted American oak, it's Mezanero, and it's French oak. And the reason I was bringing this up is when we were experimenting with the toasted American oak, we purchased hundreds of barrels with different characteristics, long time seasoned staves, French oak, light toast, heavy toast. And then what we did is once we had a range of barrels, like a different set of barrels, we put different mash bills, different states, different ages of whiskey in there to see what it tastes like. So we have a pretty good map of what each of these whiskeys tastes like in that particular circumstance. So now that we know that, and then we know how they come together, we are able to do predictive on our end of what it might taste like. There's still a lot of experimentation, but it's by intent. It's different. It's different than just randomly putting things together. It is, we know how some of these things will work together. And then that's what drives the blend that we're putting together.
So it's a combination of technical know-how and feel, really.
I guess that would have been a short answer.
Yeah. No, okay. Yeah. I mean, because I think people wonder, I do, you know, is there some mad scientist or is there just a mad artist sitting around going, you know, does Joe close his eyes and think real hard and go, you know what I need? I need a little Canadian. I need a little bit of rye whiskey and I need a little bit of, you know, and this is all going to work together. Or are you sitting there with charts and graphs and going down to a certain percentage point, this is going to do it. But let's talk about, we're talking about releases here. You've got a barrel foundation bourbon. Okay. And you generally do cask strength releases, but this is a little different. Tell us about it.
Okay. So this is really a first for us. This is 100 proof bourbon. We've never done anything less than cask strength. In fact, when we produced this, we had to buy and install an RO, reverse osmosis water system, because you want to use RO water when you're cutting whiskey. So we never needed it because we only needed drinking water. So, of course, as I was mentioning, the production took 2 years. The RO unit didn't have all the parts. So we ended up having to buy the water from our local water distributor, put it in a steel container, send it to Cincinnati to have the reverse osmosis process, and truck it back. So the water in this.
Can you give us the elevator pitch on why you need reverse osmosis water?
You want as neutral water. No, you want nothing in it. No, you want to get rid of any calcium, anything that's in the water. It's sort of like Dasani. Those waters are all ultra filtered or so that there's nothing in there. It's just the basic water so that's what you want, that because there'll be an interaction for many, many reasons. Anyway, so that water that's in here this is a little digression, but that's, this water is cost more than any water you would ever buy. But now that we have the unit, it wouldn't happen anymore. So in any event, what's interesting about this, And is that this is not only is it 100 proof, it's price point at $55, which is, you know, less than what our—
you're normally 80, right?
Yeah, 80, 89, yeah. Somewhere in that range. And this product is a blend of 8-year-old Kentucky, 5, 6, 9 Indiana, 8, 10-year-old Tennessee, and 5 and 6, excuse me, year-old Maryland. And then
you say Maryland?
Maryland, yeah.
Okay.
They make amazing whiskey.
It's funny. I don't know that I've had much Maryland whiskey.
There's only a couple producers.
Okay.
I mean, Sagamore is one of them. They're
is there a sort of a certain thing that Maryland whiskey brings that would be different? I mean, what would be a hallmark of Maryland whiskey?
Nothing other than the producers are high quality producers.
Okay.
Like there's a consistency to their product. There's, you know what you're getting. And also it tastes good. I mean, it's the not only are they able to produce high quality, consistent product, it's something that we would buy because it actually is an excellent ingredient. And the other thing that we're doing now is we're writing down the derived mash bill. People ask us for years what the mash bill is, and it was always like, well, there isn't really a mash bill because some of it is 36%, some of it might be 21%, some of it might be, 8%, whatever it is. So we decided, I just had this moment where it's like, why don't we calculate the derived mash bill so that it at least give you an indication? In other words, and all that is the arithmetic of what barrels are in there, what volume is in there by mash bill type, and then just, run the calculation. And this comes out to be a 73% corn, 23% rye, and 4% malted barley. So that just, it's not that that's really that informative other than it gives you a sense of what the rye is, which is the thing that you would probably taste most versus the corn, which is what you will taste most. And in any event. So this was designed as a very accessible whiskey. It is in the same tradition as our barrel products, but it's a little bit more accessible. In other words, our products you want to spend time with, you want to let them open up, you want to taste it, and there's lots of layers and things. This has similar layering, but it's just a little bit, it's just easier to get to. It's easier to get to the components, and it also makes great cocktails.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Was that driven a little bit by the idea that maybe some people get scared off by 127 proof whiskeys? I mean, honestly, I'm a huge fan of barrel, that, but I know that I have friends that would come over, and if they saw that high proof, they'd be scared away, even if it's unfounded, maybe just bring.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right. I mean, it is. I mean, with the high proof comes responsibility. I mean, 100 versus 125 is 20% more. I mean, there's a lot of alcohol in there. So, and we also designed it so that it has great mouthfeel and it works well on the palate all across the board, but also you can use it in a cocktail. And, part of the thinking behind it, for me is, yeah, I'm a whiskey consumer as you are. You go to the store, and if I buy an $80 or $90 or $100 bottle of whiskey, and it's not good, I'm never coming back. But also, if I don't know it, and there are brands, we try everything. But if I put my hat on as a consumer, that's something different. And it's we really take that seriously. I mean, people work hard, and they should get value for their money. And so the idea here is that this, if you know our brand, then this is something, that you might want to try, you use it in different occasions. You can drink this any day, anytime. If you don't know our brand, but you're curious about it, it's a more accessible price point for somebody to try. And then that gives you permission to try the higher price ones. That's the thinking behind it.
You're absolutely right on that, Joe. I mean, full disclosure, I talk about this on the show, brands send me samples. That's how I get it. I'm not out there buying everything that I'm talking about. But I usually, with me, it's one sip a lot of times with different products. And I go, all right, I like this. This is something I could put into my repertoire, But if I don't like it right up front, and as I said, I'm getting these as media samples, and I'm done. Now, I can imagine if I'm out paying for it, and you take a sip and you realize, or you put it in a drink and you realize this is not for you, well, then you lost one. That yeah, fish got away.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's hard-earned dollars. So,
and you're competing. I mean, this is a it's hard to I mean, you know better than anybody. I mean, this is a uber competitive. There are so many. I mean, Barrel is a award-winning, beloved whiskey, not only from consumers, but also behind the bars. And but nonetheless, I could name, I'm not going to, but I could name 20 brands right now that are direct competitors to you that are angling for the same drinkers. They're trying to do the same stuff and they're doing it well. And in order to keep your market share, grow your market share, you can't fuck up. I'm just going to say you fuck up one, right? There's pressure there.
We're not going to.
Yeah.
I mean, no, because I mean, that's which somebody asked me that one time, like what happens, you know, with something that doesn't turn out well. Well, it doesn't not turn out well. It may not be what we want or expected. And the simple, the short answer to that is, and you may have seen that, and we did a quick run out there, it becomes a component for something else. So if we find that something is too much of something, we put it in a steel container or put it back in wood. Generally, just put it in steel because we'll use it, you know, in some point. And it becomes something that's blended in something else because that what that contributes in a different context may be really important. So yeah, I mean, it's we're it's you know it's our brand promise is that you might like some one of our product or another, but we're not going to put anything in the bottle that doesn't get past our blending team and it isn't good. It just we just won't do it. So but that's what we try to do everything we can to satisfy as many people as we possibly can. And we've been doing this for a while. I mean, you know, so we invented a lot of this stuff and, you know, and a lot of these processes and know how to read feedback in the market and know what people like.
Well, I'm curious about that, Joe. You've been around 10 years, right? 2013, that's when we get going.
Yeah. The 10th year.
It's been 10 years. Besides the praise that I routinely heap upon you, is there any accolade, award, a media hit, or anything that you've gotten over the years, or it could be more than one, that really stands out, the something that you're just damn proud of?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. You know, we were going through this. Over the years, we've won over 150 significant awards. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, best drugstore in the Tri-County area. I mean, these are, you know, we're talking about national competitions. And so I would say there's a few that come to mind are the Vantage was the number three Whiskey Advocate whiskey top 25 last year. That felt good. Fred Minnick picked Seagrass as the number two whiskey of the year of his top 100 in previous year, 21, the December 21. We've won literally dozens of medals from San Francisco, but we've won two best bourbons from the competition.
Joe's talking about San Francisco World Spirits Competition, yeah, which is considered one of the biggest going. But what about early on? Was there one that you can look back and go, this is when it really started to happen for us, when this thing happened?
That's a good, you know, that's funny. And this was the one that really took me by surprise was when with our batch one bourbon, we entered it into the Ultimate Spirits Competition, which has been, they actually just closed. I mean, they've been doing it for 12 years. They're no longer going to do the competition.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I think that his name. He's going to kill me.
Was it Paul Picault? No.
Yeah, Paul. Oh,
Paul. Okay. Yeah.
I think Paul just wants to move on and do something else, or I'm not sure if he's retiring or if he just. I mean, I think it's a pretty grueling competition. They have thousands of entries. So the first time we entered batch one in that, and we did extremely well. And then we started getting all these comparisons to how it beat Pappy in these competitions, which, you know, it's just a different style, but that was one I think that was really stands out. That one, and I have to say, batch 11 winning San Francisco Bourbon of the Year was, I think that was a big.
So what year would that have been? 2015 maybe.
Right around there.
And yeah, it's funny you mentioned that about the awards and Paul, like, you know, I used to do San Francisco and I was doing Fred I don't know if he's still doing the Ascot Awards, you know, various things. And a couple of years ago, I just waved the white flag and I said, I don't want to do it anymore. Anybody that asked me, I said, no. Two things. I don't love the idea of these, personally. I just feel like there's so much riding on it for these brands. And I'm just telling you, my own personal experience would be like, if I'm tired or whatever, I just felt like there was too much responsibility and I didn't want to half-ass it, you know, and that was what was happening sometimes. Cause you'd get 50, you know, they'd send you 30 whiskeys and go, all right, you got to do that. And I didn't want to do it. So I kind of stopped participating. I'm not saying there's not value. There certainly is. I just didn't want to do it anymore. I said, let's leave that for others to decide. I like to do it on an individual basis, kind of like this, and evaluate things, but I didn't want to be part of the contest apparatus.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I mean, I get it. I mean, you know, we do it every day on a different level. When we're trying product and tasting barrels, it's for me, it's this or this. Like, and not even, I mean, that's a different, it's a different thing, but it's very binary for us. We, you know, it's either yes or no.
I want to try something with you, Joe, real quick, by the way. Sorry, I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you go to barrelbourbon.com, that's the Barrel Craft Spirits website, there's a cocktail section, and I do not want you to look, Joe. Don't cheat.
Oh, come on.
No, don't look. Don't cheat. You can't cheat. And there is a cocktail section, and they are categorized as easy, medium, hard, and expert. Now, without looking, Joe, I'm going to name cocktails from your own site.
And
you tell me if it's easy, medium, hard, or expert. Here we go. Okay. All right.
But let me qualify this. You know that I am the self-proclaimed worst bartender.
No, I understand. Joe does not love cocktails. Whenever I've asked him,
I can't make a cocktail.
He likes to drink it neat. You know, he likes to drink it on the rocks, straight up. So, this is why I'm doing all this, because I thought I'd embarrass you a little bit. We get to have some fun with you, man. All right. Again. Easy, medium, hard, or expert. We're going to go the apple cider sparkling sidecar. Now, so everybody knows this one's going to be made with, there's a lot going on here. There's Chinese five spice apple cider, barrel bourbon New Year 2023. There's dry curacao, a bunch of ingredients in there. The apple cider sparkling sidecar. Is that a easy, medium, hard, or expert cocktail?
Hard.
You're saying hard. That is correct, sir. Look at that. All right. Nice. Okay. Mint julep. What's a mint julep? I mean, well, you know what medium. A mint julep is. Medium?
Yeah, that's got to be medium. Yeah. Easy. No, we call that easy. That's easy.
Easy.
Okay. All right. Mint julep's easy. That's
all right. Old fashioned.
Hopefully that's easy.
Easy.
Okay.
All right. The New York Sour.
I can make that.
The New York Sour. The New York Sour.
Expert. I mean.
That is expert. You're right.
I couldn't make that drink to save my life.
Well, I'm going to tell you how to make it. 2 ounces of Dovetail. One of my favorite expressions from Barrel. 3/4 of an ounce of simple syrup. 3/4 of an ounce of fresh lemon juice. An egg white. And 1/2 ounce of red wine. You're going to use a fruity red wine. You're going to put the Dovetail, the lemon juice, the simple syrup into a Boston shaker. Then you're going to add the egg white and some large ice cubes to another Boston shaker set. You're going to flip the small side of the shaker into the large side, press hard on the top, ensure a seal, shake vigorously until the ice is melted. You'll be able to tell from the sound. Then you're going to open with the large shaker on the bottom, then oh my goodness, forget it. Go to the website, check it out. That is an expert drink. I got one more for you.
Let me tell you about that. Yeah. So Nick Christensen, who is on our blending team, it's Tripp, myself, and Nick. Nick just won Blender of the Year for Vine Pair. And she has the gift of making cocktails. So that's her. That's all her. It is like on a Friday, you know, we have a little speakeasy here Friday afternoon. Sometimes she'll mix up something and it is always a religious experience. It's just,
not for you. Crazy. I don't understand, Joe. Like,
why
don't you? I mean, I love cocktails. I love them. I love whiskey cocktails. I'm looking at this page right now. We're recording this in the morning, and I'm looking at this page right now going, I want to have these drinks. I want a paper plane right now, which is easy, by the way. I want a paper plane. I want the apple barrel buck. I want the tail flip. These are all. How do you not love cocktails?
I love them. I just don't like to make them. And what happens is I get fooled every time. I make one and I'm like, wow, okay, I did it. Cause I'm like very exact. I followed it. And then it's like after I make two and I can't, you know, and I don't know. It just doesn't work. I don't know. I did a video recently, somebody asking me my favorite cocktail. And so we went to the speakeasy and I said, here's the ingredient. You know, the secret is having the best ingredients in glassware and product. And I poured a shot in a glass and put it down. That's my idea of a cocktail. That's my winter cocktail.
Okay. All right. I got you.
All right. What else you got for me?
I want to ask you about, you've got a new barrel bourbon cask finish series, right? What's going on there?
Oh, those are, so what we've done is we have not released bourbons with finishes. We just didn't do it. Our private release bourbons were just different percentage of ages. And so we decided to do it's a very limited release series. There's only probably a couple thousand cases of any of these one products. And so we were going to do, we'll release probably two a year. And this year we have two that we released. One is the
Amburana.
We'll do them first. The Amburana.
Okay.
Amburana is it's sort of a popular finish. It's a South American hardwood. It's endangered species. So these, we actually had these barrels built. Chip Simpson, a chief whiskey scientist, we tracked down the wood. It was ethically and sustainably harvested. It came in, we dried it. We had the barrels made. They're super expensive. I mean, these are more than $5,000 each just for the barrel. And then we finished whiskey in that and let it sit. And so this is a blend, of the whiskey, the bourbon finish in Amburana and unfinished bourbon. So we got a blend of it because the concentration of flavor from the Amburana is crazy. It's like we were just tasting it. I was showing somebody yesterday. The full strength barrel, product from the Amburana barrel, you open it up and it's like you walked into the mall and they just took the Cinnabon out of the oven. I mean, it's overwhelming. It's just so much. So we had to blend it with non-finished bourbons to create a balance because it's a very polarizing flavor. People like it or don't. And there's some of them have just, these are real barrels. Some are made with spires or cubes, chunks of wood, staves. And so this is a different approach. It's a fuller flavor. It's just a very different product. But
116.42 proof. You're going to be selling that for $89 a bottle.
Yep.
Yep. And, and then you've got Tale of Two Islands. Tell us about this.
Okay. You're a rum guy.
I do like rum.
So this is bourbon that's finished in our old Tale of Two Islands barrels. So that means nothing to anybody unless you're really inside. It's so inside. It's crazy. All right. You ready for this?
Let's hear it.
Okay. These are finished in barrels that were originally Kentucky X bourbon, went to Scotland, used for Isla. Yeah. 150, 300 years sitting in the barrel. they aged a long time there. Came back to Kentucky. We bought them back here. We then finished rum in the ex-bourbon Isla barrels, Isla casks, came back here, put our Jamaican rum in it, finished that rum in that barrel and released a Tale of Two Islands rum, took the rum out of those barrels and put bourbon back in. So it's a full cycle. And so bourbon, scotch, rum, bourbon.
So you you're going to get the bourbon flavor. Then you go over to Isla, so we're going to get the peaty, the smokiness. Then you're going to bring it back and do rum, where you're going to get the sweetness. How the hell does that? There's so much going on. I mean, it
so good. This really is one of my favorite releases this year. It's really good. This buy
that one. Now, would this be one that you're just going to go? Is that a cocktail based spirit, or you think that's more of a sipping?
I think this is sipping. I actually haven't even thought about this as a cocktail.
And that one's weighing in. Let me make sure I got this one right. That's 118.22 proof. Again, $89.99 a bottle for that. Yep. Available now everywhere.
Yes.
Okay.
Both. This was. That's actually newer. Amberana was August, I'd say, and that's we're sold out of it. But there's probably still some in retail. The Tale of Two Islands finish was later than that. So it's relatively new to the market, but that'll be out there. So you can find that one.
Okay. And then finally, you've got.
Also, you can find these online. We have, I think on our website, they probably still have some.
Okay. And then finally, you've got let's talk about the 2024, what do you call it again? The New Year release. What is it?
New Year release. Yeah.
Yeah. So if people are looking for something. I mean, we got New Year's coming up. And if you're looking for a great holiday gift, let's hear this one.
So we started this in 2015 or 16, I think it was. This is a small batch that we do every year. We release November, December. And it's this sort of very different. We pull out all the stops when we're blending these, when we're blending this one. Not that we don't on everything, but it's more like we have lots of different barrels from different states, and we have, there's not enough to do a batch of any one of these or a predominant blend. So we view them as an ingredient to this particular product. So it's a pretty wide set of states whose whiskey that we bring in and use for this product. This year, it's Kentucky, Indiana, Tennessee, Ohio, Wyoming, Texas, Maryland, and New York. So those are the states that have contributed barrels to this particular blend. And it comes in at 113 proof.
When you say a limited release, how many bottles of that are going to be available?
This one, I actually know the answer to that question, which is generally I'm like,
generally, you don't know anything, Joe. No, I'm kidding.
I don't know anything. And I'll tell you why. The reason is we're doing stuff that's not even, that's way in the future. And even once we do it, we're blending to taste. So when sometimes it's as much a surprise to me. Not really, I'm kidding. We're blending the taste. So what's in there tends to be, I just forgot. So it's like, oh, it's that range of barrels. Anyway. The answer to this one is about 10,000, give or take, bottles of this. That's it.
And what's the retail on that?
Same, $89. Pretty much everything is $89 except for the $55 one. And then we have the Grand Gold products, but those are higher priced. But for the most part, everything is right in that, it should be, $84 to $89, $75 to $89. It's, we have no control over, we have zero control over retail. So.
Okay.
We have an MSRP, and we try to work with distributors to make sure that they have the right margin and the right pricing. But at the end of the day, the retailer can charge whatever they want.
Okay. So to recap, everybody, we got the new cask finish series you're going to want to look for, the Barrel Foundation Bourbon. That's the more accessible. First time they're going down a lower price point. So if you are unfamiliar with barrel, you might want to jump in right there. Of course, we've got the 2024 New Year bourbon, the new state-of-the-art facility. There is so much going on, man. It's incredible to see how much has happened for you and the brand since I met you, which is Pebble Beach, I don't know how many years ago that was, 6 or 7 years ago, how long it was. And it's incredible to think what's going to happen in the next 10 years.
Hope so.
Yeah.
Look forward to it.
Well, listen, my friend, I can only talk for so long, my eyes bothering me. I'm kidding. I'm almost healed, Joe. Look at this. I'm looking better.
You look great.
Thanks.
You look good.
Making a comeback, my friend. Well, listen, if we don't talk to you again this year, which we're probably not going to, I wish you the best and the happy holidays and new year and all that. And everybody be sure to go to barrelbourbon.com. Check out everything they got going on there. It truly is. There's a reason Joe's on this show all the time. It's one of my favorite whiskeys. I got a handful, and I mean that, few that were always going to be my go-tos, and this is one of them. And always love having you on, man. You have a lot of knowledge to share, and we always appreciate that.
Thank you very much. I love being here. It's so good to see you, and have a great holiday.
You too.
Thank you very much.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
That's going to do it for our show. I want to thank Joe Beatrice for being here. Always love having Joe on. Of course, I want to thank you for listening. For you are the fuel that drives this engine. The little engine that could. That we call What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. Invite you to follow me on the Instagram. At the Imbiber. Theimbiber. I also invite you to tell some friends about the show. Let's grow together, my friends. And as I'm wont to do, I will leave you with a joke. Ready? Ready? What's the difference between men and pigs? Pigs don't turn into men when they drink. Come on, that's pretty funny. No? All right. How about this one? Young guy's passing by a bar when he sees an old woman fishing with a stick and a string in a puddle by the sidewalk. And he thinks, well, this must be some poor old fool here. And out of the kindness of his heart, he invites her into the bar for a drink. And after he's paid for the round, or sitting there quietly, he asks her, so how many have you caught today? The old woman grins, takes a big sip of her drink, and replies, you're the eighth. All right, that's it. Bye. Nobody got nothing in my pocket.